Wanda, would you read John 13:34?
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
Last week we talked about this commandment of loving one another, and then we got into the discussion of the definitions for love and different things. And I'm just going to reiterate, go back just a little bit. But there's nine things or sayings or what the word agape, we call it agape. In the Hebrew, it was a half, what it means. And in every one that talks about what love is applied to marriage. I mean, it's, you know, and I got myself into trouble last week somewhat. No, not really. But it was true, you know. Marriage is the example of how we love the Lord. It's the evangelistic billboard out there. Because a good marriage is a witness to the world. Amen? But the nine things, every one of them, every one of the things that apply to love, the kind of love, the agape love, is applicable in marriage. Cleaving to someone, running after someone, seeking someone, continuing in faithfulness toward someone, yearning to be near someone, being knit to the soul of someone, occupied with affectionate desire for someone, honoring someone, and united with someone. And those are expressions of love, and they also apply to loving one another. They apply to marriage. We discussed last week the definition. There's three words in the Greek that are expressions of love: eros, phileo, and agape. And last week we talked about the definitions, and I just want to kind of retouch on them so we remember them. Amen. That eros is not just about exotic love, which can include that, but it's really about the desire to possess. It is love that seeks its own, to take and to use. You know, in a lot of ways, it's not bad. You know, we got this connotation, we thinking that eros, exotic love, that's bad. But in eros is really somewhat, is not really bad. Because, you know, I love wisdom. I want it. I want to be intelligent. Amen? But it's an expression. It's a kind of love that focuses solely on me. You know, we talk a lot of times about the me church. Me. It's all about me. I want this. I need this. I got that. I need this. You know, it's all about me. That's what it is. And then we talk about the phileo. It's the brotherly love, brotherly affection. And it's important. Phileo pictures the love that I have for those who like me. It's brotherly in the sense that I share a common bond with someone. Today we might say, I really like you. And really I'm meaning that we have a lot in common. It's the kind of love that belongs to, quote, quote, matchmaking according to the areas of compatibility. But things change. The difference between phileo love and agape love. Phileo love changes. What we like today is not what we liked 10 years ago or 20 years ago. That's why phileo friends drift apart. Oh, we have a lot in common. We're this, and then 5 or 6 years from now, there are no more, you know, because we don't have the same interest anymore. We don't, you know, and phileo marriages drift apart. In other words, sometimes people get married and say, oh, I like you. We have a lot in common. We're this and we're that. But in the end, if it's not based on agape, if it's not based on covenant, if it's not based on God's word, sometimes they drift apart. Amen? A label is a step away from the self-enhancement of eros. Ego. But if we want to know and understand how agape really differs from eros and phileo, we need to study the statement that Jesus made. Love your enemies. And this is kind of where I got in trouble. Who is my enemy? The perfect enemy is the one given to me in marriage. That person is placed in my life to prevent me from wasting my life on eros things and phileo things. That person knows my victories and my failures, my ego excuses, and my deflections, my hopes and my fears. That person knows everything. Amen? That person buffets you and straightens you and smooths you out. That, there's no better person in earth, better position to prevent me from surrounding myself with like-minded admirers. I mean, you just think about it. You know, you need to stop and think sometimes. You know, we gravitate to people that are just like us. And we gravitate to people that are like-minded, and so we kind of go haywire sometimes. Amen? We kind of go off together. But that person that we're married to sometimes is come back to the right way. Amen? And this is just not a wife thing to a husband. This is a husband thing to wives, you know. I mean, it's together. Agape love is displayed by loving the one who has the greatest power to harm and the greatest potential to heal. We ask, why does marriage And it said, states in so many places, implies it so many places in the Bible, that marriage models my relationship with God. Because it's God's intention to turn perfect enemies into perfectly united lovers. That's what God's intention is. That's what He did to us. Before we came to know Jesus, before we came to know the Lord, we hated Him, amen? We are an enemy of God. And that's what we're supposed to do to people, to other people, is to make them, we're to love our enemies. That's what Jesus said. It says, love one another. Love one another. You know, Jesus, as He was walking here on earth, He was leading His followers apart from all the other people. He refers to a renewed old commandment. It was based off of Leviticus 19:18. This is John 13. It says, love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. Love your neighbor the same way that you love yourself. You know, but God's idea of neighbor isn't quite the same as ours. We like to redefine the Hebrew word ahav, agape, love, in terms of the Greek word phileo. That's the way we try to think of it. That makes us easy to love our neighbors, because that allows us to love the ones who are like us. I mean, it's easy to love somebody that's kind of like me and kind of like us. That's easy to do. But in the word love, God's love, agape, in the Hebrew state, ahav, it's love those, it cannot be just about loving those who like us. God loved us while we hated Him. Amen? God's love is the perfect display of agape. Because it's all about enemies. The Bible amplifies this theme. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, it tells that what agape looks like in action. In Proverbs 25:21, it said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And it says in Exodus, the 23rd chapter, if his animal's in trouble, go get it out of trouble and take it back. Jesus says the same thing when He describes love toward those who are hungry, thirsty, naked, or abused. Until we treat our enemy with the same regard as we treat and care for ourselves, we've not understood or practiced love, the agape love. You know, we might be the biggest humanitarian, care for those in need, but to offer our enemy shelter, substance, and goodwill, and rescue finds no basis in normal human emotion or action. The only basis for this kind of love is God Himself. I'm to apply the effort that I exert to care for myself to those who oppose me. We need to stop and we need to really think about that. Need apply the same effort that I use to care for myself on those who oppose me. I kind of switch of thinking in it. Kind of gets me to thinking sometimes. This is the golden rule. And in its widest application. From a biblical perspective, it's impossible to love God and hate your enemies. Love, the word agape have, the Hebrew word, compels action on behalf of the other. Particularly if that other opposes you. We talked about marriage so much, but marriage is the practice field for the application of God's love. Marriage includes all three Hebrew words for love. In Psalms, different Psalms, the meaning beloved, the lover. It's a word, it's a Hebrew word, is D-O-D-H, I can't even pronounce it, but it's meaning beloved, the lover, the beloved, the sensual soulmate. This word comes closest to Eros love. But in the biblical view, it has boundaries that protect it away from the possession. And then in Psalms 1, verses 9 and 18 in the New American Standard, we find the word R-A-Y-A-H. This is the word that's translated darling or lover in the Psalms. It's more talking about the phileo love. It contains the idea of common bond. It's not eros because it's resting on giving myself away, not taking to enhance myself. That's what eros is. It's all about me, remember. It's the word that possesses. I'm going to possess that. Care that. But that's not in Psalms here that the darling, translated darling or lover, is not talking about the eros. It's the phileo type of love. And then we talk about the agape love, the love of God. Ahab. The most frequently and deepest word used to describe the love of God and love in marriage. Marriage without God's love is but a shadow of the true intention. Yet the actions of Ahab seem to be absent from most marriages. What are these actions? First and foremost, Ahab is unbroken faithfulness. It's covenant love. That means it is a commitment to the benefit of the other over a lifetime. I think every young person, before they get married, need to really understand. And sometimes we older ones need to really understand what it is. But it's covenant love. Faithfulness. Covenant love. That means that we're committed to the benefit of the other. Wow. I mean, if in every marriage, if this partner and that partner, they all were doing everything it was to the benefit of the other, there'd never be a bad thing going on, amen? Every time you get in an argument with your wife or your husband, you need to say, am I doing everything there is to the benefit of them? That would change the deal, amen? Every time we get in an argument, and how many married couples don't get in an argument every now and then? Maybe once every 5 years, once every 10 years, or something like that. But when we say we're committed to the benefit of the other, of our mate, over a lifetime, that's what love is. That's what God's love is all about. It's unwavering, regardless of the action of the other. It's a little tougher. It's unwavering, regardless of the action of the other. Even though your mate does something you don't like, you're still loving them, and you're still caring for them, and you're still faithful to them. It's trustworthy. Earning its stature and consistent goodwill. This is the definition of agape. God's love. God's love does not regard its own needs or desires ahead of the needs and desires of the beloved. You know, sometimes you got to think about it. I mean, sometimes, I don't know about you, maybe not everybody's, well, I know not everybody's the same, but sometimes we men get to think that we've got to have this, we've got to do this, and we've got to. Amen? And we forget about the desires and the needs of our mates. But that's not love. It's to live in God's love, we regard their needs above our needs. But at the same time, God's love holds up the highest standard for the beloved and does everything necessary to bring our beloved into full enjoyment of that standard. So many times we can see our loved one going in a direction that is not God's direction. Amen? And we're supposed to, because we love our enemies, we're going to love them, and we're going to bring them back. We're going to buff it off with the vengeance. Amen? Yeah, it's ouch, yes. But because we love those so much, we're going to bring them back to what God's ways are. I mean, it applies to the way we treat our children. That's why mom and daddy, sometimes we don't give in to everything that our children want. Amen? Because sometimes it's not what God wants. Sets its eyes on God's character and acts accordingly. You know, Paul understood the Hebrew context of love in his statement in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We wanted to read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. And you know, when our children were little, I guess her name, maybe she remembers it. Many times things would happen we would have them go read, and they memorized 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. Is that right, Renee?
In the Amplified.
In the Amplified,
okay. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
You know, we need to read that scripture often. You know, love suffers long. Doesn't end it. So when we're envying someone, we know we're not loving. It doesn't parade itself, it's not puffed up, and it doesn't seek its own. Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter is a rendition of the Ten Commandments. They go hand in hand. Both passages describe who God is, and ultimately, God is love. God is love. God has equipped you and I. He has equipped us with the ability to learn how His love affects our relationships. We must put this renewed commandment into action, for the learning is in the doing. To love one another, to love my neighbor, to love my enemy. If we want God's love to empower our lives, we must become the agent of God's love where we live today. We just need to stop. We need to meditate. We need to think about it. Are we exhibiting God's love? God's love where we live today in our actions? We can do it. Praise God. We can do it because God will provide the ability for us to release His Spirit in our efforts. He provides us. He helps us. He gives us the things, the ability to be able to love those. To love our neighbors. Remember what our neighbor is? It's not just the ones that are like us and we get along with them and they think like we do. No, our neighbors are everywhere. And I know some of those people I don't really think really like. You know what? God will put you into circumstances for the opportunity, especially after you listen to this message. Get ready to report back. But God will put us into the circumstances where the opportunity for His love action interrupts our well-planned existence. Our well-plans. In other words, when He puts us in a place so we can show His love, it might be going against what we had little plans in our little deals. Amen? We've got to take those opportunities. God can and will arrange the opportunities of your intent. You know, God's good at that, amen? To arranging those opportunities. But as soon as we embrace it, the Spirit is there to give us reinforcement, to aid us, to give us the ability to love our enemies, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen? Praise God. Lord, we thank You, and we magnify You, and we glorify You. Lord, we thank You that You so loved the world that You gave Your Son. And we thank You, Lord, that You loved each one of us, even when we didn't love You and we were against You. But You loved us with Your love. And we thank You, Lord, and we magnify You. Lord, I just ask this morning that You would impart to each one of us the understanding and the ability to love with Your love, Your type of love, our neighbors and our enemies. And we thank You and we magnify You. Lord, just impart to each one of us Your love, so that we will be the expression of Your love. We'll be the billboard out there of Your love that draws people to You. And let's all ask God, I ask You to work in my life, impart Your love into me, so that I will be a billboard for You that draws people as honey draws flies. That they are drawn to You and come to know Your love also. And we thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Great people of God, call by His name, call from darkness and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the love.